Revelation 21, 1 through 5. We won't so much take this word by word this time, but I believe we may come back and do that very thing. But I want us to see an incredible, just amazing message in this, in these five verses. The title, what do you think the title of the message is? It could be several, right? New heaven, new earth, new Jerusalem, all things new. So the title's just one word, new. And in verse 5, Christ says, I did it. I did it. Well, I'm getting ahead of myself. Look at this. Look what he did. And don't miss the clear spiritual truth of this entire passage of Scripture. What's wrong with the old earth? There are a lot of questions raised by here. Why do we need a new earth? Well, there can only be a one-word answer to that. Because of sin. This old earth would be just fine, except for sin. Well, how can we have a new earth then? You got to do away with sin. You got to get rid of sin. Otherwise, you make another earth. What good is another shot going to do us? You think the new earth is just another reset for us? Maybe we'll get it right this time. Maybe we won't completely destroy it. Our very presence in this earth destroys it. Put away sin. How does that happen? Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. It only happens by the blood of the Lamb. And think about this. What is the essence of all this newness? New heaven, new earth, new Jerusalem. He said, I make everything new. What does that mean? Is he just going to make a new earth that's prettier than the old one? You know, we know that sin has affected this earth. There's thorns and there's cruelty even in nature that wouldn't exist otherwise. And are there just going to be roses with no thorns in this new earth? What does it mean? What does that even mean? A new earth. What's the essence of that? What was the point of the old earth? What's the point of this earth? I'm already speaking of it in past tense. Sounds good, doesn't it? I'm ready for this earth to be past tense. I believe I really am. What was the point of this one? The glory of God, specifically in redeeming his people. Everything revolves around the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. God has a people, and so he has an earth that he's populated with his people. And so that was the point. And what was the point of man, though, in this earth? Well, the first thing that happened was we fell. We became alienated from God. And so from the beginning of history, this earth has been about what? Getting back to God. That's the cross. That's the Lord Jesus. He listened to the scripture on that. 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Why did Christ die on Calvary? Well, he's just to show us his love, to show us how much he loved us. Well, how's that working out for everybody that's in hell tonight? He suffered the just for the unjust that he might bring somebody to God. Not everybody's going to be brought to God. But those who are brought to God by the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, by the sacrificial offering of our Savior on Calvary. Now, to listen, look what God said. What the essence of newness, that's what we're talking about. So the old earth was about getting back to God, to bring us to God. The cross, everything revolves around the cross. And Christ died on that cross to bring us to God, to redeem a people out of every kindred, tribe, nation, tongue under heaven. We're going to sing about it throughout endless ages. But listen, so what's the new earth all about? Well, to answer that, look what God said about it. We can speculate, but why would we do that? Listen, he said, John said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Okay? For the first heaven and the first earth are passed away, and we know why. God said he was going to burn it up, and he did at this point. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. The church is the bride of Christ. New Jerusalem is the kingdom of God. It's the church. It's the people of God, the elect of God. And as a bride adorned for her husband, John saw her. And listen, God's going to tell us what all this means. What is newness? What does it mean to be new? I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, look at it. Behold, what? The new heaven and the new earth and the new Jerusalem, the new everything. Look at it. The tabernacle of God is with men. That's the point of it. He didn't say, look at it. There's no thorns on the rose bushes. He didn't say, look how pretty it is and shiny and new. The man hasn't had a chance to mess it up yet. He said, look at it. The tabernacle of God is with men. The point of the new earth is the same as the old one. It's like the old covenant. What was the point of the old covenant? The glory of God. You're going to obey. You're going to do this. You're not going to do that. Same as in the Garden of Eden. The glory of God. Obedience to God. Service to God. Glorifying Him. In thought, word, and deed. Well, how is that working out today? Just like in Noah's time, it's the same story, isn't it? The same story. The imagination of man's heart is only evil continually. Therefore, I'll send a flood and I'm going to wipe everybody off the face of the earth except for the few that I've chosen to put in my son, and I'll pour out my wrath against them on my son and not them. Same with the old covenant. What's wrong with the old covenant? Us. What's wrong with the old earth? Us. And what did he do with the old covenant? Put it away. It's passed away. And there's a new one now. What's the point of it? Same point as the old one, the glory of God. But it happens a different way. It's not going to happen. It's not going to depend on you. It's going to depend on his son. That's how it is in the new earth. When God's done with it because of us, he's going to get rid of it. He's going to burn it up and he's going to make a new one. And the point of that new one is going to be the same as the old, the glory of his son. But none of it depends on us. It depends on him. It turns out, after all, that it wasn't all about us doing something for God. It was about him doing something for us. Look what he did for us. We are a beautiful, spotless, beautifully adorned bride, worthy of the King of Life, worthy of the Prince of Peace himself. But think about what he said. First of all, God with us. We're going to be with God. The tabernacle of God. Notice he says it three ways. Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them. Why is it stressed like that? Why is it said three different ways? Because God's with us now. He said if we meet in his name, just the two or three of us, he's there in our midst. So he's stressing it in a whole different sense now. But look at the three things. There's three things that God says about the new heaven, earth, and us. There's a new heaven, a new earth, a new us. So there's three distinguishable messages about this newness. And I mentioned one of them already. And then we talked about the first one. It's God with us. The essence of this newness. And remember the point of the old one. It was all about God's purpose of grace in Christ Jesus. That's now fully accomplished. That's accomplished in the old earth. So what's the point of the new one? Verse 3. With men, dwell with men, God himself shall be with them and be their God. The old earth and everything that happened on it was about getting to God. The second earth, the new earth, is all about being with God. We got there by his grace. We're going to get there. Doesn't look like it sometimes. We're going to get there. How we became separated from God and getting to God is what it's all about. He died, he suffered the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. The old tabernacle was about getting to God. He mentions the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. Who will? The tabernacle. The Lord Jesus Christ. What was the old tabernacle? It was Christ in picture, in type, in ceremony. Christ in his glory revealed and exalted in all of it. The new tabernacle is Christ in reality, in his very presence. I thought about how to explain this. I mean, it's so simple, isn't it? It's God, not just pictured. But he's with us tonight, right? What's the difference, though, then? We'll talk about that in a minute. But it was all about getting to God, the old tabernacle. What was the point of it? Communion with God, forgiveness of sins, the Day of Atonement. You know what atonement is? At-one-ment. What we have in our text, at-one-ment. With God, God with us, he himself with us. At-one-ment was made in the tabernacle. That tabernacle was Christ in every way. What else was in that tabernacle? Light, bread, incense, blood everywhere. Light that we might see God. The light of his glory in the face of Jesus Christ, Paul said. Bread that we might live before God. Incense that we might have intercession between us and God. The old tabernacle was Christ, and so is this new one, but in reality, in person. Notice the language of verse 3. The tabernacle of God is with men, and he, the tabernacle's a he. This is God in the room. I don't know how to say it. God actually with us. Now, Christ was God with us before, and God is always with us in that sense, that he was with us now, is with us now, and was when he came into this world. That old sense doesn't perish. It wasn't just about proximity. It wasn't just he came down here to earth. God's everywhere. He's omnipresent. Though he did come where we were in order to save us, but Christ being Emmanuel, God with us, is about him being what we were, yet without sin. It was about him being for us, in so much that nothing can be against us. And that's eternal. He is with us eternally in the sense of him coming where we were, redeeming us on Calvary, doing everything for us. Honoring the law for us in his life, shedding his precious blood for us. And that with us is never obsolete. That began when God fell in love with us, and it will continue as long as His love does. But our text doesn't just say that. As wonderful and eternally glorious as that is, Christ Himself being God with us. But notice the different ways it's expressed. With men, dwell with them. Himself. Himself being with them. How is that different than what Christ promised in Matthew 18:20? For where two or three are gathered in My name, there I am in the midst of them. How is our text different from that? I can answer that. Because God tells us that. Listen to John 17:24. Father, I will that they also, whom Thou hast given Me, be with Me where I am, that they may behold My glory. We can see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ by faith tonight. And I pray everyone in here will do that by His grace. But we're going to see the glory of God in His face in person, that they may behold My glory which Thou hast given Me. For You loved Me before the foundation of the world. That's Christ's desire, and our desire is no different. We're desiring the same thing. This world is all about at-one-ment, being with Him. Listen to what David wrote in Psalm 27:4. One thing have I desired of the Lord. What's this world for? Why this old earth, David? One thing. And that's what I'm going to pursue my whole life, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord. That's what it is. That's what this earth is. And the new one, we're going to get there. He's going to bring us there. That they may behold My glory. Oh, that I might see the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. Let me just take one thing, for example. Do you want to know what God's love is? This reprobate world talks about the love of God. And they want to ridicule and shame those that believe that God is God and say, well, that's not love. If He just loves some and not others, that's not love. That's exactly what love is. It always is. If you love every child in this world the same, then you don't love your children. I'm sorry, you just don't. You just don't. You think about it. You think about that one laying in bed at night. You do not love them. If you love every child exactly the same, if I loved every woman exactly the same, Vic, you might have a problem with that. You reckon? Love is always distinguishing. It's always special. But to say that God loves everybody, despite the fact that most go to hell that live in this world, grow up in this world, that's not love. Do you want to know what God's love is, just for example? Out of all the things that we might want to know about God, I can tell you tonight that His love is in Christ. It's nowhere but in Christ. Don't expect any love from God anywhere else except in His Son. I can tell you that it's distinguishing in particular. Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. There's no way to twist that. You just can't do it. You can try, but you're not going to get it done. You can't twist that. His love is distinguishing in particular. I can tell you, though, that He loves sinners. He loves sinners. In Christ Jesus, He loves wretched, the most wretched sinners in this world. I can tell you his love is everlasting. He's loved us with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, he draws us. You don't leave it up to us. What kind of love leaves it up to you? I'm just going to leave it up to my child whether he wants to run out in the street and die or not. Really? Great parenting. You should write a book. Love never leaves it up to anybody. God's love hedges us. His love keeps us. His love overshadows us. His love protects us. An everlasting love, no beginning or end. I can tell you that his love is effectual. It's not impotent. His love doesn't say, well, I sure do hope everything works out for them. I've done all I can do, you know. That's not the love of God. His love is effectual. It gets the job done. Those whom God loved, he also did predestinate. Does that sound like leaving it up to you? Because he loved you, he determined everything about you, everything that would happen to you, and where you're going to end up. Looking exactly, being exactly like his son. I'm so glad he didn't leave it up to me. I know how that story ends. You want to really know what his love is, though? I can tell you tonight. Those whom he loved, he also did predestinate. And he called them out of darkness into his marvelous light. And he justified them. He didn't give them a chance. He justified them with his precious blood and glorified them. He loved his church and gave himself for it. There's no theme like it in the world. But though I expound from his word better than anybody else ever has, the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, we're not ever going to know much about his love until we get a glimpse of his face in glory. That's what I'm talking about. That's the difference between now and then. We're going to know him even as we're known. Because we're going to see him, what? Three words. As he is. I can't do that right now. But then we will, because he's going to dwell himself. He's going to dwell with us. Let's talk about something that we just mentioned before. New here means no sin. No sin. No sin. We don't know what that is either. We were shaping in iniquity. And it hadn't gotten any better. It is no better to this day. Think of all the scars of sin on this old earth. Every time someone disobeys God or does something evil, thought, word, or deed, it leaves a scar. It has a collective effect. No man sinneth unto himself. The presence of sin that hangs in the air everywhere we go. Somebody said I'd like to get away from everybody, but the problem is I'd have to take me with me. You can't get away from sin. Glenn knows who said that. I'd have to take me. But listen, not only all of the scars of sin gone on this new earth, there's no sin, no presence of sin, no scars of sin, no potential for sin. No potential for sin. No possibility of any sin. No sin hanging over our heads and no sin to dread in the future. This is the second thing that God declares about all this newness. You want to know what new means? Look what God said about it. I'm going to dwell with you myself, personally. Everything that the old earth was all about is fulfilled now. Here we are, you and me. Don't even know how to talk about that. But here's the second thing. No nature of sin, no sin hanging over our heads, no sin possible. He'll be with us, and then there's a consequence of that. He'll be with us, we'll be with Him, and we'll be like Him. Look at verse 4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. God's going to do that. What does that even mean? Are we going to be crying when we get there? And He's going to wipe it away? We got to talk about that. You know we do. You see why I'm probably going to have to come back to these five verses. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away. The old earth and the old us, gone. You see what new means? We're a new creature in Christ now. Everything that new means, there's already a foretaste of it here. And a very beautiful and glorious one. We are already, right now, saved from the penalty of our sin. There is therefore now no condemnation now to them which are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. The penalty of sin we are free from, since Christ bore our sins in His own body on Calvary and consequently bore all of the punishment and the wrath of God for our sin. His people will never bear any punishment for sin. We might think that now when something bad happens, we're suffering for our sin. No, completely contrary to that. Whatever temporal earthly consequences there are to our sin, God uses them for our good. We're not suffering because of it. It just feels that way to us. We're actually being benefited by it. We're never going to suffer for our sins. If Christ suffered in our place, the justice of God won't allow it. God will overrule even our evil for our good. And everybody else's, you meant it for evil, Joseph said, but God meant it for good. To do what He does, save much people alive. So we're saved already from the presence of sin, from the penalty of sin. There's no condemnation. We're saved from the power of sin. Romans 6:14, sin shall not have dominion over you. It shall not rule over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. The strength of sin is the law, but we're no longer under the law. We're under the grace of God in Christ Jesus. But we're not yet saved from the presence of sin until verse 4. A new earth and a new us. No more even presence of sin. That's exactly what our text is talking about. When He is actually with us, when He Himself dwells with us, there'll be no presence of sin. Sin now, tonight, is still mixed with all that we do, all that we think even, and everything that we say. And we do now suffer temporal consequences of sin, though our Lord uses them for good. Oh, but look at verse 4 with me again. Can we just read it again? You see why this is my favorite now? And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. All of them. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And you know what's so glorious? The third thing that God says about newness, I did it. I do it. Behold, I make all things new. He did that for us. He did away with all of these things by the sacrifice of himself. And we're going to experience that then like we never have before, never could, in the body of this death. Now listen, there's more to this than none of this is going to happen anymore. There's none of this than it just no more of that from now on. That's not what it says. It doesn't say there's not going to be any more of that from now on. It says it's all passed away, all of it. Think about that for a second. Not only is this not ever going to happen anymore, death, sorrow, pain, but even the ones that did happen are gone. How can they not be if the cause of them is gone? How can they not be gone? They're gone. What causes all of this? Sin. What happened to our sins? He didn't just stop us from sinning. We're still sinning. He's not just going to stop us from sinning anymore. He put all of our sins away. And all of the consequences go away with them. That's what this is talking about now. It's not just that we're not going to sin anymore. The truth is we never did. If we did, we'll never see him. I know I'm talking strange language, but the Lord speaks of those things that are not as though they were. And if he speaks of them as though they were, it's because they are. We just haven't experienced it yet. If our sins and iniquities God remembers no more, the omniscient God, it's because they never happened. And if the sin didn't happen, then the tears were never cried. You mark it down. It doesn't make a lick of sense now, does it? It's going to, though. That's what this text said. They're all gone. They're gone. If God omniscient doesn't remember them, then they didn't happen. God's not just wiping away tears that we may be crying at the time when we get to heaven. He's wiping away here all of the tears that we've ever cried. Gone. Every sorrow that ever creased our brow is gone at the touch of his hand. The former things are passed away. He didn't say the former things are not ever going to happen again. They're gone with the sins that caused them. All things are new. New. Which means what he said it did here. It means he's with us in every sense. With us like the old, like we know now, like we experience now. For us. With us in a sense that we've never experienced until this day. It means we're like him, because now we see him as he is, and there's none of the marks of sin, none of the scars of sin, none of the experiences of sin, no presence of sin. Passed away. And then God declares that final thing about all of that newness that we glory in. Behold, I did this. I do this. I make all things new. That's why we're going to glorify Him. We're not going to be singing about the wonders of heaven. He is the wonder of heaven. He's the one that did it. We don't sing about the house. We sing about the one that built the house. What does it mean that God did this? Well, we kind of implied one already, don't we? He gets all the glory for it. That's what it means. He's going to get all the glory for it, like He always has. May He do so now in this old earth. May we give Him glory both now and forever. But the fact that God, He said, I make all things new, He gets the glory. Not on the wedding garment, but on His pierced hand. Not the things that He's done for us, but the one that did them. He gets all the glory, doesn't He? And boy, that's never going to be more right than it is then. I'll tell you what else it means that God did this. It can never be undone. It can never be undone. If anything good happens in this world, and it does, we experience many wonderful instances of God's grace in this world, but you know what happens? We mess them up. We don't even have the capacity, much less the brains, to not mess it up. But this can never be undone because God has done it. He opens and no man shuts. He shuts and no man opens. What God joins together, no man put asunder. In reality, in experience. And I'll tell you this about the fact that God did it. He gets all the glory because He did it for His glory, right? We know that much. But you know what else about God? Everything He's ever done, He did it for you, D. It means it's for us. This is my body, which is broken for you. That which is the whole point of this old earth is for you. It was for you. It is for you. This is my blood, which is shed. The blood of the new covenant is shed for you, for His people, for His elect, for His loved ones. His love is in Christ. Romans 8:32, He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. Who's the us? Whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. You look at the context of Romans 8:32. He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? If Christ is all things, then how can He give us Christ without giving us all things? Well, I don't even know what to say about any of this, and I just proved it for 45 minutes. But I hope that we can go to bed tonight thinking about new and what it means, what God said it means. I don't think what religion says it means, I don't think that's what it means. May God give us grace. To look to Him who makes all things new and glory in Him alone. Amen.